time. And in one
welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. 251-343-0106. If you need to be in touch with the program, time permitting, we will get to your text. So make sure you stay right where you are. Joining us now, we do this every Friday about this time, our returning champion, State Senator Chris Elliott, joins us on the line. Senator, good morning. How are you?
I am doing great. It is a really pretty day. It's warm, but pretty here in South Alabama.
Well, I guess the news of the morning is Supreme Court decisions, and some of them are more broad, more national than the one we were waiting for was the redistricting decision in Louisiana, and I guess they're going to punt until the next term. But what's your reaction to what you've seen this morning?
Well, that's something my colleagues and I obviously have been talking about this morning and watching some of those courts come out. And they do have broad implications for, the entire country, right? Whether or not one single federal, district court judge in the, U.S. Southern District of wherever can stop a nationwide presidential executive order. Should that one judge have the ability to do that? Supreme Court said, no, that's a good thing, to have for the president to argue, I think, for a strict interpretation of the Constitution that says, hey, listen, they can do whatever in their district, but they can't get outside of that. They can't and shouldn't have the power to overrule, Congress or the president, I think is a wise thing and returns authority back to the branches where it should be. And so, that's a good thing. I'm disappointed they decided to, as you put it, punt, rehear, I guess, the Louisiana redistricting case. I mean, this is over congressional districts in Louisiana, and will have implications in Alabama's redistricting issues, and really, again, all kinds of redistricting issues around the country as to whether or not we're going to draw districts based on the color of a person's skin. I thought we were trying to get away from that. And so the lower courts have said, no, absolutely, you should draw districts based on, the color of a person's skin. And I think that when you start trying to assume that, what race somebody is going to dictate how they vote, you're headed down the wrong path. And I hope that the Supreme Court will certainly see it that way. But they're gonna wait. The problem is we're so evenly split in the United States Congress that any implication, any decision could very well turn over the control of a branch of government to the other party, and that's unfortunate that it's that impactful.
Yeah, there would have been pressure. I think I kind of talking to some of the guys who were more involved on the reapportionment side were not really eager to dive into this before 2030 in the next census. But there would have been calls for you guys to go into special session if the Supreme Court had ruled a certain way and get it done and have the map we had for 40 years. Maybe something of that nature come back to the state.
You're correct, and that was one thing. Again, my colleagues and I were looking at this morning. We knew that when the Supreme Court decision came out on the Louisiana redistricting case, it was going to be impactful on Alabama's, and depending on the result, we may very well end up back in Montgomery in a special session redrawing lines. But that seems, obviously very unlikely to happen, not necessary now since the Supreme Court's not ruled in that case. And so, does not look like there'll be a late summer special session or early fall special session, which absolutely nobody was looking forward to. Late summer in Montgomery is a really tough place to be. And, if there is a silver line in deciding to rehear this and not issue a decision, today, then maybe that's it.
Well, speaking of that, like how much time are you guys, I guess this sort of post signy die session, whatever you want to call it. I mean, I know you're up there for contract review, but really typically we kind of talk about next year at times, but it seems to be very election centric right now.
There's some of that going on. There's still a lot of moving pieces. I mean, the more seniority and the longer that I am in the legislature, the more time intensive it is, right? There's part of me that would love to go back to being a freshman when you weren't as involved in the day to day, what's coming up next year. You've heard me use this analogy before. Session is like your football season, right? But it doesn't mean that you're not doing summer workouts. It doesn't mean that you're not getting ready and deciding what bills you're going to have, what are going to be the priorities for the session, talking with your colleagues, which we need to do more of in the House, about what their priorities are, and trying to, work through some of those things. And so it's still a very busy time. You point out correctly, contract review, which meets monthly, our sunset meetings, which will start up here again soon, will start. And, for your listeners, that we wisely tell these state agencies, you cease to exist unless we reauthorize you. It's a great way to limit government. And the Sunset Committee, which I haven't served on before, but I'm newly appointed to, will work, more diligently at trying to squeeze as much efficiency out of, a lot of occupational boards and then other executive branch agencies that, because of their underlying authorization statute, their enabling statute, exists only if we say they continue to be able to exist.
Talk about this. We haven't, like I said, spent too much time on 2026, but and I've asked this to some of the lawmakers that have come on since Sine Die, but I haven't. What do you think it looks like? There seems to be a lot of loose ends to tie up, obviously, from the last session, but the discussions about a rules change and other things like that. I mean, what are you hearing out there?
Yeah, I think, the easy starting point is, what were the priorities that both the Senate and the House had that simply didn't make it because of a lack of time? And if those are things that, hey, everybody's in agreement on, then those, in my mind, ought to go to the front of the list. Hey, the clock ran out on us. Let's go ahead and get these things done. Those, you can fill up at a couple of weeks, legislative weeks early on, just with stuff that didn't get done for the previous year. And so I think then you have, frankly, things that we passed that either we didn't know or we didn't have a good idea of what the implementation would look like, right? And so oftentimes statutes that we pass need to be tweaked, or we find that there is some, I won't say unintended consequence, but maybe something we didn't realize was going to happen, or some caveat that simply needs to be addressed or updated. And so I think those things are really easy to work on in the off season to try to say, hey, this is a fix. How do we get through this, and how do we make that happen? So those are things that need to get taken care of early on. And then it's a matter of, trying to decide, okay, what are the big ticket items for this session that we're going to try to get through and try to make happen? And so those conversations are happening almost daily between my colleagues, with leadership and others. And so, it's still a busy time. It is still a really, really, really busy time. I spend an awful lot of my time, even, in the off season, talking with constituents, going to meetings, speaking to Lions Club and Rotary Club and Republican Women's Clubs and all of those things, and trying my best to make sure that they know they're represented, they're heard, and that we're ready to go for the next session, which is less than 6 months away.
The one that's really drawing a lot of media attention, I don't see there's any chance that you would revisit it in one direction, maybe in the other direction. I know Senator Weaver is really invested in this, but the hemp law and the way that's being done, is there anything to be done here? Is there a legitimate gripe from some of these retailers, if you will?
There are. I would have preferred to go with Senator Weaver's bill last year, and she's refiled it this year, and what she has is really just a total ban. But what we have allowed in the statute that was passed was a severe limitation of a lot of these products and where they were allowed and allowed to be sold. And that was a good thing in my mind. The problem is we still allowed a lot of it to be sold by certain people in certain places at certain times, and in effect picked winners and losers. And that to me is where things get a little dicier, and we really need to stop and think and say, look, if this is bad stuff and we don't need it around, then it's bad stuff for everybody to sell, not just bad stuff for some people to sell. And unfortunately, you get all the lobbyists in the room, you get all the folks in the room, and you know, some of us, me included, say, look, some ban is better than no ban, but maybe we do need to look at it again. And I expect that'll be something that we may nibble around the edges on.
Well, I mean, that's certainly news, because I, you know, some of the folks, I don't know how legitimate their businesses are, but they insist that no one was really happy here with this one way or another, you know, and the people who wanted the all out ban are the people who wanted kind of something, some kind of framework or regulation, but that allowed for their status quo to continue. And that, you know, I don't know. Like, I know you guys aren't necessarily in the business of policing people, but who's really like thrilled about this new regime?
I don't think anybody is. And so, you know, and by the way, you've got a bunch of people legislating something that I think very few of them, us, me included, really have a whole lot of knowledge about, right? I mean, I don't know a lot about this Delta 8, Delta 9, THC infused, whatever, or vaping this, that, and the other, or flower that. That's not something that I have any knowledge of. And so I think that it's a challenge to get something like that right when you're working in a space that that you just have no hands-on experience with. And I think that's the case for, I'll say, most of the Alabama legislature are not experts on it.
Let's talk about Baldwin County a little bit. I guess you're aware of what's going on in Orange Beach, but I thought this like cycle before Jeff Boyd's decision to run for mayor down there was relatively benign. I know that Mayor Kraft had a challenger, but I don't know how serious or how, you know, strong that candidate would be. But this mayoral cycle seems relatively tame, with one exception.
Yeah, and I think, you know, this is where we differ in Baldwin County for instance, what they've got going on in Mobile, where it's this big race, this huge monstrosity of a race. And in Baldwin County, these municipal races are so intimate, right? They're people that you know, that you see at the grocery store every day, that you see at every football game, that you see, you know, that can talk to you about the corner of this road and that road and, what's going on with this tree. You know, that's just not something you get in a big city. And so each one of these races is so very intimate and personal. And so it's always tough when there's opposition. But I think that the idea of having, you know, some interest in the political process is a good thing. Do I think we necessarily need, new people and the folks that are there have not been doing a good job? No, quite the contrary. But having people that are at least interested is refreshing, and I think that's a good thing.
Well, so much of it is this, and you spent your time at this level, but it's just managing the growth. A lot of good things happening in Baldwin County, and people are excited about them, but it's putting a tax, it's putting a burden on a lot of local services, and there are lapses at times, and that seems to me to be, like, you know, kind of universally speaking, the deal for these municipal candidates.
Well, it is. I think that most of the competition is about not delivering the services or managing the growth, but rather how, right? And so it's personality differences, but it's not so much policy differences. Look, our municipal leaders have a tough job. There are, you know, 19 people coming to this county every day, and they are trying so hard to make sure that their city is inviting, but at the same time that the type of housing product that's there is what not only new residents want, but certainly what their current constituents want. It is just a complicated thing, and it's difficult because you can say, I want to stop growth all you want to, but that is an unrealistic thing to promise. The growth is happening. It's going to continue to happen. We and our municipal leaders in particular have just got to do the very best job they can do, making it work with what's here. accommodating to the extent that you can, but making sure that at the end of the day, you don't impact your current constituents, the current residents, any more than you have to, and that you have the infrastructure needed to accommodate the new growth, because it's coming one way or the other.
Well, and then we'll wrap it up on this. I think this is related to both the loose ends of the session and also to what's going on in Baldwin County. But are you going to bring back the effort to, you know, get the municipal school systems the tax revenue?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, look, we're going to have to fix that. I mean, I was at a gumbo legislative luncheon down in Gulf Shores not long ago where we were doing a post session wrap up, and that was one of the major issues that came up. I mean, there is no way we're going to be able to continue to take tax money that is generated countywide, collected countywide, and give it to only one school system and not share it in some way, shape, form, or fashion with the others. That's not sustainable. It's not fair. And we're going to have to fix that, or it's going to continue to cause serious problems. I mean, look, you gotta apply your principles and what's right and wrong, and taking from some school children to give to others is just wrong, and we need to stop doing that.
Yeah, and I'm surprised the detractors will say, well, these kids in you know, North Baldwin County or whatever need that more than the kids in the beaches do. And I find that, like, not to be certainly not an argument you would expect out of Republican politicians in a sort of a ruby red county.
Well, it's not a principled argument, I can tell you that. It's a political argument from someone who's just trying to do their best to stay in office, as opposed to trying to make the right decision based on principles. And I know that because if you talk to them and you say, well, what if the major system in your district decided they wanted their own city school? Oh, well, I'd change my vote immediately. And when you have somebody say that, you know they're not basing their opinions and their vote on principle. They're basing it on politics.
So you're going to leave it there, but we always appreciate your time on Fridays, and we'll do it again next week. Or I guess we won't. Well, it'll be 2 weeks. Happy 4th of July.
We'll wait through, and we'll have an extra special time when we get back.
All right. State Senator Chris Elliott there. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
I said, Mr., many thanks. He said, you don't have to call me Mr. The whole world called me Hank. He said, Victor, can you?